Feminism also promotes sexual and reproductive health rights. And as we can see today, those rights of women are really under attack. And our perspectives, feminist perspectives, emphasizes the importance of women's autonomy over our bodies and our right to make informed decisions about sexual and reproductive health. And it includes access to comprehensive sexuality education, HIV testing and counseling, and the prevention methods such as condoms, PrEP, PEP, and many other methods that are available. Empowering women and girls is important for us to focus on women to negotiate safer sex practices, access HIV prevention services without fear or favor, and also to participate in decision-making processes that affects their lives. As we know, as advocates, we always talk about the engagement of men in the work that we do. This includes supporting women's leadership in HIV prevention initiatives and ensuring meaningful participation in policy development. Stigma and discrimination works. Feminism works to dismantle stigma and discrimination associated with HIV, which can also affect women and girls. By challenging negative attitudes and promoting social inclusion, feminism creates a more supportive environment for women living with HIV, and also for us to understand integrating gender into HIV programs, that we can see there's always a push for us to include men and young boys when we come to HIV prevention. There is no women's movements are collaborating, but I think we can do a better work across the borders to ensure that there is equity and equality in prevention choices. Also, I'd like to say there's no shortage of women's movements addressing HIV prevention, GBV, and stigma. What is important for us is for us to reach out to each other and start doing the work together. And I think there are examples of that. The African Women's Accountability Board, by working together, we are reaching women across seven countries and have leadership in those roles. And with HIV, with leadership being part of that, there are intersectional approaches to addressing GBV and structural barriers that recognize that multiple forms of discrimination and advantage intersect to create a unique experience of violence and barriers to support. This means acknowledging that a person's race, class, sexual orientation, disability, and other social identities can significantly impact how they experience violence and their ability to access help. We need to acknowledge that there are overlapping inequalities. It's crucial for us to understand that individuals may experience multiple forms of discrimination simultaneously based on their race, such as being a woman of color with disability, which can also increase our vulnerability to violence and the limit to access and resources. We need to continue to challenge harmful gender norms. Intersectional approaches address the root causes of GBV by challenging harmful gender norms and power imbalances that perpetuates violence in our communities, including those related to masculinity, femininity, and traditional roles. We need to continue to promote gender transformative programs that involves not only addressing and immediate needs of survivors, but also working to transform social structures and system that contributes to GBV. Engaging boys and men is also essential in efforts to promote gender equality and challenge harmful masculinities that contribute to violence. We can have there are some examples of intersectional approaches in practice, the training of judges and legal professionals, working with community leaders, developing targeted intervention, creating specific programs and resources for groups at risk, like women of GBV, like women, like the LGBTI community. I would like to end there, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you so much, Yvette, for sharing with us the importance of having a feminist lens in the way that we're able to address HIV generally. We can't do it without feminist approaches. And we need to have feminism on board in order for us to address the needs of women beyond just HIV, but more comprehensively, like you have mentioned, issues of gender-based violence, among others. Now, from global advocacy, we are moving to hearing community voices. And this time around, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome a young woman and get to hear from her perspective. This is no other but Beryl Abade, a PrEP champion and youth advocate from Kenya. Beryl, if you can hear me, kindly
Yes, I
unmute.
can.
And I have, yes, thank you so much for joining us, Beryl. And I have two questions for you. First, maybe you
Okay.
should start with the first and then I'll do a follow-up. Could you
Okay.
kindly share with us why do young people need to choose HIV prevention tools? Why do young people need to choose HIV prevention tools? Karibu.
Okay, thanks a lot for this opportunity, Lillian, and also the ICW. As a young person, we will love and feel that we are supported in choosing and accessing HIV prevention tools. Number one, through the need to develop more information and education materials, because as you know, we as at now we have only the PrEP IC materials. So we have also the new prevention choices on board, and you can. If you look any facility and go in, you'll just find the PrEP IC materials, and now we have the DAP ring, we have the lenacapavir. So we just disseminate information via mouth. For us to feel that we are being supported in choosing and accessing the HIV prevention tools on board, we feel there's need of developing more information and educational materials, such as for the PrEP. So as at now, we have only the PrEP IC materials. So if you go to any facility, there's no the DAP ring IC materials. So there's need to develop such materials for us young women to go and learn more about it. There's also a need of continuous sensitization of service providers on existing facilities and existing new preventions, and also the older preventions like PrEP. So as we all know, we have that one when the choice is on board, there's only that one training done to the service providers. So we feel as though the continuous sensitization, and also for them to know that they are a lot of different the diverse population accessing the services. So we feel there's that need of continuous sensitization of service providers. There's also we make different choices available and also accessible. As much as we are advocating for DAP ring, here in Kenya we can't access it, and there's need for it. So as much as we are bringing new prevention choices on board, we also need to make it accessible and available for all to use it. There's also need of having safe spaces at the community, and have leaders or a champion who is well versed with those prevention choices information, because we feel as though young people love to go and meet at a safe space and maybe share their lived experience. So at the safe space, there they can talk, and if there's need of accessing such prevention choices, there's link facilities. So it is easier for them to go first access the information from those safe spaces, and now there's that linkage. And now if we get to be linked to that facility to access the services, there's need of a one-stop shop whereby we can get all the services that we need from that place. So if I need HIV test, and I need also PrEP or condom, there's no need of sending me to go and have maybe a family planning from another facility. So it should be a one-stop shop where I can access all those services. So there's also need of services offered should be diverse, like all the diverse and also the marginalized community should access those services. So if you're giving out services to the FSW, let the LGBTQ also access the services. Let also
Person living with disability also access the services and also the AGYW. Without forgetting, we need to also add more champions. There's a lot of work that champions do at the community level. So we need to add them and continue disseminating the information that we have to more and more lady, girls at the community level. Back to you, Lillian.
Thank you so much, Beryl. You've shared with us a lot of important tips for us to pick. I'm getting a lot of strategies we can employ in terms of, meaningfully engaging our adolescents and young people in demand creation as part of demand creation. You've talked about safe spaces, but also how young people love to feel supported. So through safe spaces, we can be able to actually do linking and, increase uptake of services. But also not to forget that you have highlighted a gap that is existing at the moment in terms of information available when it comes to new prevention technologies. As of most information you have available currently is around PrEP, oral PrEP, but less or to no information in terms of IC materials when it comes to dapivirine, vaginal ring, lenacapavir, and others, new kids in the block. So one last in one sentence, Beryl, for you would be,
Okay.
why do you think choice is important to young people? Why is choice when it comes to HIV prevention is important to young people? Yeah, so Beryl, I just wanted us to hear from you in one sentence or so. Why is choice important to young people when it comes to HIV prevention?
Okay. I feel as though we are the next generation, and if we don't stop or have new prevention choices on board that will stop the continuity of people reinfection of HIV. I think it's a plus. So being that we are the next generation, we need to be equipped with the information and also the prevention tools to be available and accessible to all of the people that who needs to access it.
Thank you so much, Beryl. Information is power, and that's what young people need as part of making sure that they make informed choices and they're able to access those options when it comes to HIV prevention. Now I'll hand back over to Lillian Morico to take us to the next part of our conversation.